The kids are still at practice, and I have no idea what's for dinner.
You can get a rotisserie chicken and two sides for just $15 in as fast as an hour with Walmart Express delivery.
Who said that? Who's in my house? Don't play with me, because I'm not the one.
It's just your friendly Walmart announcer. This is a commercial.
Oh, okay. You were saying dinner for a family was just $15?
Yep. It'll be at your door by the time you get the kids home from practice. Order now. Welcome to your Walmart. Subject to availability. Restrictions and fees apply.
Now that was a helpful commercial.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Yesterday, the 34th Dáil finally had a proper session after that tumultuous start, with both returning and new TDs finally getting down to work. Issues surrounding the Occupied Territories Bill, Trump's comments on the control of Gaza, and the number of super junior ministers were just some of the issues that were raised on the floor of Leinster House. For more on this, I'm joined by Sean Defoe, political correspondent for News Talk. Sean, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Now, what about the gender imbalance? Will that be sorted with the Shannon nominees from the Taoiseach, 11 in number?
Yeah, they're certainly under pressure to do it, and made even more under pressure by the fact that a number of the female candidates that they were hoping would come through the Shannon elections didn't. The likes of Lorraine Clifford Lee, Mary Siri Carney, Anne Rabbitt all didn't manage to get elected on their own bat on the panel. And so there's now an expectation that they would need to be appointed as well. And then quite simply, the list of names that they were thinking of appointing is longer than the number of appointees they have. Six for Fianna Fáil and five for Fine Gael. They're some of the ones who would be in the range if you're looking at the Fine Gael side of the house. Also the likes of Alan Farrell, who was the chairman of the parliamentary party in the last Dáil, lost his Dáil seat and now is lost his bid to be in the Shannon as well. They're also going to need to make an appointment in Cork South West, where they don't have a TD, and neither of their candidates for the Dáil, Noel O'Donovan or Tim Lombard, managed to become a senator either. Tim Lombard losing his Senate seat, so it's thought that Councillor Noel O'Donovan will be in there. You're looking at other ones like Carmel Brady, who was an election candidate, and Cavan Monaghan, Leonora Carey in Clare, for example, and maybe someone like Nicky Bradley in Donegal, where Fine Gael has no representative. And then Fianna Fáil, nearly even more crowded again. I've already mentioned Anne Rabbitt and Lorraine Clifford Lee. Joe Flaherty, former TD, who lost his seat in Longford West Meath and didn't manage to get one in the Shannon. Some speculation around Stephen Donnelly. I haven't got the sense that that is going to actually happen. I got the sense that he's going to move out of politics, but you never know. Obviously, they have Pat Casey there in Wicklow, who is a former TD and did win a Senate seat. Dee Ryan is another one being talked about in Limerick as well. She had a very good mayoral election, had a pretty good Dáil election as well, and is seen as the long-term replacement for Fianna Fáil in Limerick City. And then the likes of Alison Cumann, perhaps in Louth, who had a decent enough election, the broadcaster, and some talk in the Irish Times today about Grainne Shoige in Galway West, although my own sense would be her bid was so far off from getting a Dáil seat, and they managed to get a Dáil seat through another candidate.
It shows, though, how odd the whole process is. I mean, people having two goes. You try for the Dáil, you fail, then you try for the Shannon, and you're clearly not wanted by the councillors and the TDs who are making up the electorate in these panels. I mean, give it up.
Well, that's just it. It's not as if you went to the public twice either. If you can't get elected by your own party colleagues, there's seriously a problem there. You can understand it more perhaps with younger candidates, with maybe councillors who they see a bright future for, the likes of, say, maybe a Linda Murray-Nelson, who was Damien English's chosen successor. She managed to win a seat on her own bat. But when it is people who have been around the bat a long time, you are really just rewarding political loyalty if they haven't managed to get over it on their own merit.
When will we have those names?
We're hoping by tomorrow. It's completely at the discretion of the Taoiseach, so it's really up to his. But now that the rest of the election has been done, we would think by the end of this week that we should have them.
Now, Paul Murphy is seeking an injunction to prevent super junior ministers attending cabinet meetings. And that's the perk, of course, of being a super junior, that you get more money and you get to listen and contribute to the cabinet, but you do not have the right to vote on a cabinet decision. But I think you pointed out to us before, very rarely do they actually have a formal vote in cabinet.
Yeah, it's very, very rare. I certainly can't remember one in the lifetime of the last government where they had a voter. Certainly all of these things are usually done through the clearinghouse of the Monday night meeting, and it doesn't require a vote whenever it comes to cabinet. So that's a rare enough thing. Interesting that this is the second High Court case being taken against the constitutionality of super junior ministers, the other being the one you've discussed on the show before with Pat Daly from Sinn Féin. Paul Murphy, not necessarily saying that super junior ministers are unconstitutional in themselves, but their attendance at cabinet meetings is, that the constitution very specifically says there should be 15, up to 15 members of the government, and that they shouldn't be allowed to attend it. He also wants an injunction against not only their attendance, but also their allowances, and an injunction basically reversing all or any cabinet decisions that have been made since this particular cabinet was appointed that they have been attendance at. So it runs, I think he said, not quite the joint with Pa Daly's, but in sync with Pa Daly's one. It will be a very...
Uh-oh, the last cookie.
You can get a new box of cookies in as fast as an hour with Walmart Express delivery.
Are you my guilty self-conscience?
No, I'm the voice offering you promo code EXPRESS for free delivery on your first order.
Hey, who ate my cookies?
You mean, these cookies?
Order now. Welcome to your Walmart. Promotion valid for first Express delivery order. $50 minimum subject to availability. Restrictions apply.
Interesting ruling by the Supreme Court, because the only way to change the number of ministers of cabinet is by a referendum that I think would be pretty unlikely to pass if you put it to the majority of the country to say, let's have more government ministers and pay them more. I don't think that's a proposition that would have a whole lot of water with the vast majority of the public. And it would be a very significant ruling for the government if it came down on either side of them. So very interesting one to watch.
Now, the only thing is, of course, that the opposition might not be necessarily opposed to that. If they have ambitions to be in power themselves, they'd have more jobs to give out when their time eventually comes.
Possibly, yeah. Looking very far down the line. But to be honest, a lot of the opposition people I've been speaking to at the moment are still in the sense of anger at having to spend 5 years on the opposition benches, and the next election and potentially being in government feels a long way away for any of them.
OK, moving on to very delicate matters politically. The Occupied Territories Bill, we're told that it might be very difficult to enforce and monitor, I suppose, and it might alienate some of the foreign direct investors here. And on top of that, of course, we had Trump's luxury resort proposals for Gaza.
Fascinating, isn't it, where everything is politically with Gaza at the minute. So there was a dull debate last night, a lot of criticism from the opposition for the government basically not just passing this bill wholesale as it was brought forward by Francis Black a number of years ago. Now what they've said is they are going to go through it, that the whole thing in itself basically doesn't pass legal muster, and their change of heart on it late last year was only brought around by fresh legal advice from the International Court of Justice that said that perhaps this could be done. So it's not going to happen in the immediate term. It is something lawyers in the government are going to look over, and the Attorney General with the intention to eventually pass it. But obviously, politically, things have become much more difficult in the last while with the elevation of Trump. Even the fact that Benjamin Netanyahu was the first major leader to go and visit the White House says its own thing before any of the mad pronouncements. And fair enough, some of them have been walked back a little bit by the likes of Marco Rubio, who was saying, no, it's only a temporary removal of the people from Palestine while they rebuild. Don't think anybody would fancy moving out of that area and expect to ever get back in if that were to happen. And then, of course, on top of all that, you have the clear enmity of Israel, and the Defence Minister Israel Katz there this morning saying that Ireland is one of the countries that should be legally required to take in any Palestinians who do leave the area because of what it said about Israel. So it puts the government in a very tricky position. Obviously, on one hand, you have the opposition saying this needs to be done, we need to take a stand, send a very clear message on the international stage. On the other hand, one of the most powerful people in the world, in Donald Trump, clearly Israel has his ear, and he is very much on one side when it comes to this. So it will be very interesting to see how the government handle it. Some reporting saying that it is going to be a Brexit style approach of stay strong, don't, you know, back down on anything from Trump. He's a businessman, he will make deals along the way, and we just need to find out where that is. But it is, we don't necessarily have the backing of the EU during this in the way we did with Brexit. The EU countries are very split on the Israel-Gaza question. So it's very tricky political waters.
Finally, Sean, the storm. I mean, I have a text here from Jim. He says, day 14 with no power, water or heat. There's an Austrian crew working in Cavan. They drove across Europe to get here, and a French crew in the local hotel in Kilchimock in Mayo, just 2 miles away from us. Amazingly, our own defence forces, 50 miles away in Renmore and Galway, Athlone and Finnair and Ballyshannon, but they can't get to us to cut trees ahead of the electrical workers who bring us back power. Our government could write the handbook of how not to deal with the storm, says Jim. Did it come up in the House?
Oh, yeah, and it's up at the moment. There's a debate this morning that is underway as of 9:30 in the government's response to Stormy Mayo, and one of the new TDs, Brian Brennan for Wicklow Wexford, saying he thinks there needs to be an inquiry into the government response. And he, a government TD himself, and expressing stories very similar to the texture that you just said there, people who are now two full weeks without heat, without power. Yesterday it came up in relation to a number of things, one including... And there was debate and breakfast on this that people can listen back to on the podcast about fireplaces in new built homes, the general response and whether what the government has done has been good enough. And I think both the Taoiseach and Taoiseach have said there needs to be a review of what happened and more preparedness for future storms that are coming down the line. But it was a difficult, very difficult first day for them, really, even though there wasn't the huge row that we were expecting over the speaking time, that was diffused. They got hammered with Storm Éowyn, and basically a lot of people saying that they had been completely absent for the 2 weeks while they handed out jobs rather than dealing with it. They were hammered over government housing targets, which were nearly 10,000 lower than what they expected last year, and then hammered over the Occupied Territories Bill. So in one way, it is good to see the Dáil actually back to business and dealing with these things. But for some people like Jim there, it comes a little bit too late.
Sean Defoe, political correspondent with News Talk. Thank you very much, Sean. Now still...
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.